What's up, everybody? Worst Friends Podcast. I'm Tim, and I'm joined, like always, by Colin. Say hi, Colin.
It's been a long week, Tim. It's been
I thought you were
long.
going to say you forgot the hot shot. Guys, just a little disclaimer. We've been talking on Twitter and Facebook for a while now about how we're going to talk about the season Entourage, or the show Entourage, and going to kind of go in depth about it. It's one of those shows that we started at the beginning and we stayed with it through the end. And we try to keep the Worst Friends podcast pretty family friendly for the most part. Obviously, last week talking about bachelor parties, it's kind of hard to stay family friendly,
We're
but.
hoping to get picked up by Disney is the whole plan.
Right, that's our ultimate goal, is to be Disney's first and best podcast. But a few inappropriate words might slip out here and there, so forgive us. We'll try to keep it as clean as possible, but if you've watched the show, you know it's pretty much impossible.
It happens, yeah.
So, Colin, what shout outs we got this week?
I want to show some love to a couple people who are, following us on the Facebook page. Our good friend, I'll just call him by his Italian home name, Mr. Mendicelli. Mr.
Ooh.
Mendicelli is pretty active on our Facebook, always throwing us some likes, some comments. So want to give him some love. He's always there if we need a like on the Facebook, or if we need someone's, knees broken with a baseball bat. So
Right. That's
show some
why you got
love.
to have a couple Italian friends here and
Yeah,
there.
definitely, definitely. Another one to our friend Rich, who just
Ooh,
recently
I
dropped
saw
a
that.
couple. Yeah, and you know what? Two things. Rich threw up two things, and both of them really made me laugh. I tend to think that I'm the funniest person I know, and that only what I say is funny. But Rich compared
Wow.
us to White Boys, the movie White Boys, which I looked at the IMDb page because, of course, I've never seen White Boys.
I have.
Yeah. So I guess I took that as a compliment, and then so I told him, I'm like, great comment. Now you're in the running with our friend Rodney for the t-shirt signed in blood. And
Yeah.
he responded, "All right, well, I'm a double medium."
Yeah, that Rich and I have quite a colorful history together, and that movie definitely came up. It's terrible, but
White
we probably
Boys.
quoted it for a good 6 months just out of stupidity. You got any more?
Yep, I got two more, and these are my other, aside from my fiance's sister, these are my other dog sitters during the day, and that's Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith.
Jeez.
Because basically, when I leave in the morning, I'm watching Mike and Mike in the morning. I leave the TV on so that the dogs think that someone's still there,
Right.
naturally. So I leave it on ESPN2. So that means they're usually subjected to, oh, what is it, about 4 hours of first take with
That is the
Skip
longest show
Bayless
in the world, I
and
swear.
Stephen A. Smith, and they're always, and so I'll come home at lunch to let them out. So I think maybe that's why Maggie has so much anger, is just from listening to these
They
two
are
go,
two angry men, aren't they?
oh my God. And the problem with
And they
Stephen A.
bark. They don't talk, they bark.
they just howl at each other. And the problem with Stephen A. is that he doesn't, if he just wants to tell Skip, "Hey, I think you're wrong. I think your facts are wrong," he doesn't just say that. Stephen A. will be like, "Well, the fact of the matter is, Skip Bayless, and unfortunately, I've had to tell you time and time again that the conclusions that you are drawing, while well thought out, are utterly inconclusive and based solely on absolutely no factual evidence
This
or
man
prior
is a
experience
LeBron James hater.
whatsoever." I know. I'm like, just tell him that you think he's wrong, Stephen A. I mean, it takes you 30 seconds just
Just
to
call him
bite
a
back.
racist. You know that's what he wants to do, is call him a racist. Every person on the planet wants to call him a racist, but they don't want to. They w don't want to, but they do.
And you know what the sad thing is? We're in the middle of these NBA playoffs here, Tim, and
Yeah.
Heat ain't looking too good. And if there's one thing Skip can do is just hound on LeBron.
Oh
But
yeah.
so thank you to both of them for keeping my dogs occupied while I'm gone. And so that's all I got. What do you got?
Okay, well, this is worst friends first. This is totally unprecedented, but for the second week in a row, I have to give a shout out to our friend Big Tris. I'll be damned if last weekend we weren't playing Presidents and Assholes just
Again?
in our friend's skate at our friend Skakes again, only this time in his garage. He's trying to make that an epic party spot, like an old garage we used to party in, but
Okay.
no, it's not gonna happen. But sure enough, that first hand came out, and someone had to have the three of clubs, and it was Tristan. So Tristan, I just want to say this to you: what it do, cuh? And then my next one, is our friend Kit. By the time anyone listens to this, he's going to be a married man.
Yeah,
congratulations. Had his bachelor party last weekend. It was my first time going out on ORV trails in pickup trucks, which was fun for about the first hour, and then after about 3 hours in, it got cold and pretty miserable. But it was interesting, and I like to try new things, so shout out to him. And this last one's not really a guy I know too well, but I feel like I've got to know him recently, and I only know his first name is Prabjeet.
Prabjeet, for those of you who are fans of The Wire, and also any of you out there who might be of Indian descent, not Native American descent, but from India, Prabjeet is actually the direct translation of Prop Joe into Indian. So basically the name Prabjeet is an East Baltimore drug slinger is the name. And yeah, Tim's – both
actually,
Tim and
I think,
know
actually,
him.
I think he's East what's the city? East Mumbai.
East Mumbai. Mumbai.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to dive right in. We're going to do our entourage talk. So, Colin, I'm going to let you start with it, and I'm going to bounce it off you, and I think we're just going to let this bounce back and forth until we feel like we've talked enough. So –
nice. Okay.
What do you got?
Well, the nice thing about Entourage is both you and I watched it from beginning to end and watched it multiple times. I've watched tons of episodes multiple times. Your sister has a bunch of the seasons. One through six. I have, I think, maybe one through four. It was a great show, and I just remember loving it so much, and just because of how long it was on the air and how much we watched and kind of where the points were at in our lives right now and how it ended, we had just kind of forgotten about it. And every now and then, you don't even see it on HBO. Like, they don't play reruns.
There is a channel. I think maybe it's Spike.
Okay.
And I think Comedy Central has it on sometimes. I'm not positive. And maybe even MTV2 or something. But you can catch reruns. But it's not the same because it's not HBO. You know?
Right. Edited. Right. And I mean, I think we became fans of Entourage at probably a perfect moment in our lives when we were in college. You know, we were young, kind of reckless. Mm-hmm. You know, it enjoyed, you know, we enjoyed a good, you know, cold beverage every now and then, and had a good time. And we started watching Entourage, and it was the first time I remember borrowing a DVD season from someone. That's something that's just kind of little and weird. You know, now we don't even think about it. We all have seasons of whatever. But I remember we have a Hawaiian friend who's also an excellent cook. He burned the first two seasons of Entourage for me.
Legally, of course.
Yeah, oh no, it's from one of those legal sites. In Hawaii, you're allowed to burn DVDs legally.
Okay, that makes sense.
So he gave me the first two seasons, and even though the audio was just maybe about half a second off from their mouths, I just blew through the first season, like the second season, and was just in love with it. And I mean, I think it's good to start out kind of, you know, our first, just kind of our first thoughts on Entourage when we started watching it. But just to talk about what made it so great and what made it so likable was just being able to compare yourselves to these just, you know, goofy group of friends that just happened to have a friend who made it big. Like, it wasn't that hard for you to think, boy, I can imagine me and my buddies, if so-and-so made it big doing this.
I think that I've had that discussion with someone before, like, okay, if I ever made it like Vin, who are the three people, you know, who would come with me and why, what would be their roles, what would they do? And Vin is obviously Vincent Chase. I don't want to say he's the star of the show. He's the movie star on the show, but that doesn't mean that every episode is only about him. Obviously, his career is driving the story, but it's not all about him. It's more about this group of four friends, you know, as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to be honest, when you in some of the later seasons, when you let's be honest, the charming character that played Vince wasn't necessarily that good of an actor. So it wasn't like you were tuning into the show to watch this actor perform his art and to, you know, watch him in perform different characters in different scenes. You basically were latched on to the show.
I don't know if I really agree with that, though.
Oh, God, I mean, he was an awful actor.
Well, he was trying to play, you know... how do we know how actors are in real life for the most part? We don't. I mean, a lot of actors, I'm sure, are sort of disconnected, almost like he was. And it's hard to say because I don't know Adrian Grenier or Grenier. I honestly don't know how to.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how he says his last name. But I don't know that I've seen him in enough other things to really say, wow, you know, he really blew me away or I really hated him. But I take him as more of a. I take him as a guy who doesn't live that life that he was trying to portray. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess I just kind of looked at him as a prop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you were to ask me of the four friends, Vinny, you know, his best friend, Eric, or E, then Turtle, and then Vinny's brother, Johnny, Drama, Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Name your, you know, who are your, rank your top four favorites, you know, or just rank them. Vinny would be at the end. So that's why, I mean, for whatever character he was trying to play, I guess I shouldn't say he did a bad job, but I wasn't invested that much in him. I was only invested in how his career affected all the other guys that I liked, which was fine right. Because when you start looking at some of the things that started happening, and I think what made it likable as well is how it was its own little... At the same time, it was its own universe, but still it was interacting with everyday Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, it stayed really current. That was something I always thought was really cool, is that if a huge movie came out in real life, you know, a couple weeks before the season aired, they'd be talking about that movie in the show. I mean, I always thought that was pretty interesting.
Right. And
in a couple weeks is probably exaggerating, but, you know, earlier that year, if a huge movie came out, they would refer to it during the show and refer to those actors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Or someone who was famous or big at the time would somehow maybe pop up. I did want to ask you, though. So let's say we had a friend that made it big. What do you think your role would be in that person's entourage?
Let's get one thing straight. Am I pulling myself out of the running as the friend who could be the one making it big?
So you're the famous person.
That's the way I would see it.
Okay.
But now that I know that, you know, you don't really like that person or don't really care for that person.
Well, this is a really good, this is like a Rorschach test
but
over
I asking you,
what do you think?
How egotistical does that sound? Well, duh, I'd be the one, everyone's booching off. But I'll take myself out of that just so I don't sound like too big of a pompous ass, as if it's not too late already.
No, it's too late.
I would probably say, do I have to pick between Turtle, E, and Drama?
I guess, or even just, you know, create your own. Say we have a friend who just for some reason makes it big, and I mean, we got a couple buddies working it out in L.A. right now.
Well, let's say that our friend Little Buddy, who we talked about last time, someone finally notices him for the talented, crazy bastard he is.
Okay.
And they're like, we got to get this guy in movies. And he decides to take me with him. I don't think I would want to be Eric, the manager. God, that would just be...
Yeah.
Because you're trying to handle a dynamo.
You think you try and create... You try and create... Once you were out there and had just a little bit of juice because of your friend... Would you try and create your own? Because that's why I think you would. What your answer might end up being will be about as close to Eric or maybe Drama. Well, I guess Turtle tried making a name for himself. You tried doing your own thing, though, wouldn't you? You try and make it big.
I was going to say I would probably be Drama, only not have all that drama because I'd be like, well, I already have a podcast. You know, I should be getting some calls too. Or I've lived out in California before. I should, you know, be... I should be getting a chance too. So I don't think I would obviously be as hilarious as Johnny Drama was.
And he's went through, you know, he's been through the rough patches. He's paid his dues.
Right.
Wasn't there that scene where he's talking with Adam Davies, having Davies represent him, and Davies is like, "Don't worry, Drama, I'll get you back in the game." Yeah. Drama goes, "I am the game.
I am the game,"
and walks away. So, okay, I mean, I could see myself, because I guess I'll admit I'm kind of just a a little bit of an anal control freak, and I happen to be Irish as well, just like E
Okay.
was. I could see myself just trying to, if I had kind of a not a loose cannon. I mean, Vince was eccentric sometimes, didn't really put a lot of thought into what he was doing. I could see myself trying to just corral that and make the best out of this person's talent and, eventually try and through hard work. And I
I would
mean,
also say drama too, because I'd always be like, dude, get me in this movie, Hey, get me a
yeah.
scene in this movie. Let me get in here too.
I know that's terms of the contract is that my brother didn't Ari get upset one time because they had to get drama his own was it something with Aquaman or whatever where no and then I had to do this for you Vince and then I had to get drama his small part
Well,
get
that's what
drama.
for a while Vince was doing, like a big thing, like, you need to get drama a job before I take anything from you or read. I think it was like something like that.
I
So.
mean I this the same artist name has been brought up multiple times now since we've been since things have started going on here. So do you have some favorite Johnny drama moments or
Well,
quotes or what stands out to you about
really
him?
quick, if you're not familiar with the show, you're probably thinking, like, right now, like, this is stupid. These guys don't, I don't even know what they're talking
If
about.
they're not familiar with the show, they stop listening after the shout outs. I mean
Well, you don't know that. Maybe they think we're so sexy and have such sexy voices, they're still listening.
That's fine.
Drama is Vince, like we mentioned earlier, is the Hollywood actor, the A-lister. Drama is his older brother. He used to be a star on a show called Viking Quest, which was pretty big. He made his name a little bit there. He used to have a role on Pacific Blue, and you find out all these other shows. Like, he did a few episodes in Melrose Place. He's like a B list, C list TV guy, but he still wants to be a star.
Did you know that he did a he also did a three episode arc where he was harassing and stalking Tori Spelling?
Yeah.
You're right, yeah,
But
so.
anyways, and he's really insecure about himself. I mean, he's really insecure. I think the first thing, and I took some notes, I called it dramas, dramas. One with an apostrophe, one without. We started to see this, in season one, we kind of just meet these guys for 8 episodes. We get to know them. But in season two, early on, he all of a sudden starts going out about his calves. He thinks that his calf muscles are kind of hindering him from getting a job. And what really kicks it off is he sees Lamar Odom. They're at a Lakers game. He sees Lamar Odom's calves, and he kind of starts this obsession. They go to a party at Jamie Presley's. That's another part of the show. There's all these stars popping up and stuff like that.
And hotties too.
Yeah, and he just basically starts following this guy around. I think he says something like, "Good God, look at those tree trunks," and starts following this guy around. Finally asks him, if they're implants or not, and the guy just kind of looks at him like he's an idiot. And he ends up another episode pondering whether to get implants or not. So that's one of dramas that really stands out for me. Another one that was really famous is in season four, the season that I would say was probably my favorite overall. At this point of the show, Drama actually is on a show. He's on a series called Five Towns, which is a network show. So he's doing all right. He's got a little bit of juice. He's starting to get out there. People are
Well,
starting to take note.
it was an Eddie Burns project,
Yep.
and drama and Eddie Burns go way
Go
back.
way
If
back. You're right.
you guys are familiar with Eddie Burns, he made it big with that independent film, The Brothers McMullen, and that's actually where apparently he offered Brothers McMullen to drama, but that's when drama took the three episode arc to stalk Tori Spelling in
Right.
90210. So
Well, anyways, when he's on this show, he notices some of the younger guys in the set wearing a hat from a medicinal marijuana store. So Drama decides that to really get the respect of all these guys, to really get everyone to think he's cool, he needs to get his medicinal marijuana card, not so he can always legally buy marijuana, but so he can get this hat. I mean,
To
and
get
it is so
the
funny. Like, I can't remember what the disease is, but the doctor's like, "So what's wrong with you?" And I think he says, like, "I have Crohn's disease," and the doctor's like, "That's a disorder of the lungs," and he ends up getting it from anxiety and all that stuff. But so those are two, and I'll let you, if you have another one you want to mention or another big drama moment,
Oh,
because I do have more. I have several
another
more.
one. Yeah, I mean, I have. I mean, we could probably do a whole podcast on Johnny Drama. I mean, the one that there's there's two that stand out, and both of them are kind of risque. One of them is Drama gets a call from some actress that he used to know. He did a TV show or some kind of movie with her, and she's kind of an older woman. She still looks great. I can't remember who it is that plays her, but a really attractive kind of older, well-known actress. Definitely a cougar, you know, that's what Drama's saying. But this cougar wants to hang out with Drama.
Right.
But she's bringing her friend with her. And so Drama naturally Drama and Turtle usually get right. into a lot of the hijinks. So Drama talks Turtle into coming along. And so this hottie older woman's friend is slightly shorter, slightly a little bit wider, but the word around the street is that, and I don't know, I have no idea how I'm going to describe this to where it's fairly PC. She, her whole deal is she gives attention to a man's area where normally he goes number two.
Right.
And so, Drama's just trying to sell Turtle on this. Listen, Turtle, she'll clean you right out, okay? Just do this for me. She's going to clean you right out, Turtle. And so just drags them along. They go on this date. All this stuff happens. They end up, Turtle, Drama, this good-looking MILF, and kind of the other woman in a hot tub. And then all of a sudden, the other woman, like, reaches over and, like, grabs Turtle's hand. And Drama's like, what? What? And she says, I told you, he reminds me of a friend of my son's who I've always wanted to get with, and like leads Turtle off.
Oh my God.
And so Drama's stuck with this other woman.
Oh my God.
She grabs him, flips Drama around, and all the camera does is just zooms in on Drama's face. And there's just no way to put into words. His face is like, Oh, and
yeah.
He's surprised.
Drama. Shocked. The guy who plays Drama is Kevin Dillon. And, his faces he makes are some of the most priceless parts of the show. I actually wrote down this quote. Later in the series, I think it's season 6, a bunch of stuff goes down, and Turtle is dating Jamie Lynn Sigler, who played Meadow Soprano. So, of course, everyone's giving him shit about it. No one believes it. But they run into her at a bar. And she throws her drink on Turtle because she thinks he's going around telling everybody that she gave him,
love on the plane,
HJ on the plane.
Yep.
Which turns out it was true. So she throws the drink on him. And the reason everyone knows about it is because Drama's going around running his mouth in like a mocking manner. Like, yeah, Turtle's saying that she gave him a hand job. And even Ari's gay assistant Lloyd gets a big laugh out of it when he's when he's down in the dumps and stuff like that. And anyways, so Drama goes and he's like, he has to talk to her, and she says, tells him, I really liked him, I would have had sex with him. And so Drama goes back to break the news to everybody, like, yeah, it really happened. And the turtle's like, so she really liked me? And Drama's like, yeah. And he tells him, she would have even had sex with you or whatever. And then and Turtle's like all down, and Drama puts his arm around him, goes, let me make sure I say it right. At least you got a nice jerk, eh? And puts his beer up to his lips. And it's just so...
Offers him a beer?
No, he starts drinking his beer. Okay. At least you got a nice jerk, eh? Like, that's the way he consoles him from it.
That's the great part, is that you can look at, we talk about our, we're kind of building our brand here, this whole worst friends brand here. And, we say worst friends is not necessarily an opposite to being a best friend, but a good friend of yours, but someone that's just not afraid to, pull the chair out from underneath you or bust your chops
right.
a little bit. And that's really what these group of guys were, especially
Turtle and Drama.
What really made it, one of my quotes, I guess this was a quote from Eric and Drama, but Eric had hooked up with an old girlfriend of his, and he's like, listen, he goes, we had breakup sex, all right?
Yeah.
Drama goes, breakup sex? Never heard of it. Eric goes, yeah, you have sex, and then that's it. It's over. You say goodbye. And Drama takes a long pause, and he goes, that's the only kind of sex I have.
Right. Well, the one other really big moment, actually there's two more Drama moments, then we can move on somewhere else. Season three. By this point in the season, Eric, and if you, like we said, if you watch the show, you remember Eric. He's always got these girlfriends that he's getting serious with. And this is one he's with Sloane, who he ultimately finds out is the one for him.
Yeah, after
But
breaking
anyways,
his.
it turns out she also has a history with Seth Green, who,
God.
as annoying as he is on the show, you really got to hand it to Seth Green because he makes you hate him so much in that show that he does a good job because obviously that's the reason they have him, to make him look like this little rat bastard that no one likes. But anyways, they're all at the bar in Vegas, and Seth Green's kind of giving Eric shit like he always does. And Drama, on the other hand, is up getting a massage in the room. And he doesn't want a woman to give him a massage. He wants a man, a big, strong man, to really get deep down and really work him over good. Well, as this keeps going on and on, at one point, the masseur, I think, takes off his clothes and gets into bed and tells Drama, "I'm not gay, but sir, how nice you've been to me. I'll do anything for you," or whatever. So this, puts Drama in a fury. And he walks down to the bar, and where everyone's trying to defuse the fight between Seth and Eric, and he just goes down there and starts throwing haymakers, basically. And
Just cold cock someone.
in the entourage, ends up beating the crap out of Seth Green's crew,
And all of them, yeah.
which Eric too. He's always the big fighter in the group. He's always getting ready to punch someone's teeth out down their throat, or knock someone's teeth out, whatever he calls it.
Well, yeah, I don't want to talk about stereotypes, but yeah, naturally they make the small little Irishman starting all the commotion, all the fights, all the
Right. And
But oh, you
so
got one
that
more drama?
one more and then I'm done and then we
I
can do
really hope it's
whatever.
the furry one.
It is.
Yes.
In an episode, I took some specific notes on this. It was season 4, episode 7. And there's a bet. Vince is trying to get Eric to hook up with a girl during the day, so it doesn't mean nothing or anything. And Drama said he's going to get Turtle hooked up. And first off, he tells Turtle,
Before
"I'll
E.
take you to a place where a one-eyed leper can get laid, Craigslist."
Craigslist.
And he ends up finding this girl for Turtle, who when they meet up, they find out she's a furry, which, in the words of Drama, means she wants to bang him like a stuffed animal. Well, at the end, it turns out you think that everything's fallen through. No one wants to do it. After a fight with the girl we just mentioned, Sloane, E decides to go hook up with this girl from London that he met earlier that day. So Drama, not wanting to lose the bet, in a haste starts putting this bunny suit on Turtle, the bunny head, and getting him and running him out to the car. But they finally get to this house, and Turtle doesn't want to do it. So into the bet's $5,000, to which Drama replies, "If I'm dropping 5 G's, at least I'm getting some pussy," and throws on the suit and runs in the house. And it cuts away for a little while, and it comes back. We see Turtle sitting in the car. He sneaks up to the window and look in, and we see Drama dressed up like a
Huge bunny
rabbit,
suit.
a huge bunny, banging this chick dressed up like a mouse. And it's just his face, and he starts smacking the mouse
Little
on the
furry hand
ass.
like smacking this.
It's
That's
just.
probably one of the best at to any show, and that's how the show
Yeah, that's
ends.
how the show ends. Drama. Oh.
No, I mean, and we could go, you're right. We could drop, 10 more stories about just crazy stuff.
Well, right after the first season, I think it was established too that Drama was the one that here's the one who everyone's really going to be watching throughout the whole show.
I mean,
So.
well, I would say
Well, yeah.
I think some of us really grew to appreciate Drama for his subtlety, even though sometimes he wasn't that subtle. But if
Right.
you ask a lot of people, and if you look at like around the time, if you look back at some of my profile pictures on Facebook, Drama was a couple, Billy Walsh we're going to talk about, but Ari
Yeah, I was
Gold
gonna say Ari was the other one.
was really someone that's, just the high power, go for the throat, killer Hollywood agent, and the way that he was depicted, I mean, was a is an amazing character. You know, we're going to spend all this time.
And it's Jeremy Piven. We got to make sure we give some credit to these people who are doing this too. It was Jeremy Piven who, by now, I think everyone really got to know him mostly from Old School when he played the Dean.
Dean Pritchard.
But now it's like he's always going to be remembered for Ari Gold. I mean,
right?
Oh yeah, Ari was just—he was the other one. I mean, his quotes. He just had some of the most outlandish stuff he would ever say. I mean,
yeah, none of them were PC. Most of them sometimes either racist or sexist, or, you know, you were always in doubt as to whether, okay, is this really, really, really how Hollywood is like, or is this just kind of like a caricature of Hollywood? And then Ari would come in and you just, whether you believe that that's what Hollywood agents were like or not, you just wanted to pretend that they were.
Right.
Wanted to pretend that, okay, this is really what these guys are like.
You wanted to pretend that, like, that's how the best agent in Hollywood was like, you know?
That's how he works. You know, he doesn't cut you a break. He'll bust his ass for you, especially if he thinks you have talents. And, you know, from the very beginning, you know, Ari would always make a note that I was the one that got Vinny off of that whatever commercial. You know, Vinny was kind of his mm-hmm. his baby throughout the whole thing.
Well, Vince was really Ari's ticket too. I mean, he was the meal ticket for the three friends, but really until Vince did Head On, because Ari starts out, you know, as just another, he's a high profile agent at the agency he's at, but yet by the end of the show, he's, you know, the most powerful agent in Hollywood with his huge firm and everything.
Right, exactly. And I mean, he really, you know, when you look at, you're right, I mean, he's got so many quotes. I think, you know, the truest test is going to YouTube and looking up, you know, Johnny Drama quotes, scenes, and there's about a 6-minute video. But then you go to the best of Ari Gold, which there's about 4 or 5, and mm-hmm. those are about 9, 10-minute videos.
Right.
And I think you can admit, and eventually we'll kind of talk about how the show on its downslide kind of teetered out and what happened to Ari then, but he was just as enjoyable. You know, you later on you came to appreciate Drama, but every time Ari was on the screen, he was just killing it every single time.
Yeah, I mean, he was by far, I mean, I think he was the character that really propelled the show because he had that recognition, even and if it wasn't from if it wasn't from Old School, maybe you remembered him from something like PCU, or not to get too obscure on you, but he also played the other George Costanza in Seinfeld. Those old episodes when there was like,
where does hair come from?
What Elaine was hanging out with the other crew. He was the other George.
He had no hair in Seinfeld, which was 10 years before Entourage. Then all of a sudden he's got a nice head of hair.
Yeah,
on
and he looks younger.
Right.
But Ari was really, I think, the character, like I said, that really took the show to the next level. Always hilarious. We mentioned his gay Asian assistant Lloyd, who got the brunt of most of Ari's jokes or cruelty, I would say. Yeah. Of course, there would be no, there would have been no Lloyd except Eric hooks up with Ari's old assistant Emily. And how does Ari get rid of her? Well, first he says he's going to fire her. Eric says don't. And Ari's quote is, then I'll sexually harass her until she quits. And that's really... And that was really the whole throughout... That was in episode 8 of the first season, that direct quote. And I think that was basically the best way to sum up Ari for the rest of the show. As whatever it takes for him to get his way... And to get what he wants, and to get his clients to the top, so he can go be there with them, he was going to do whatever it takes. And I mean, you saw it time and time and time again.
I mean, you're right. He was about as cutthroat. I think you almost wanted him to stay the same. You wanted him to always be that same, just shrewd, cruel businessman. And I think he became. You're right. He was the one that. The majority of people would quote or be like, oh, Ari's the best. And that kind of helped propel the show. Mm-hmm. And then later on, they kind of tried to humanize him a little bit. And at that point, you know, and there's a number of things that kind of fizzled out at the end of the whole show, the series. But at that point, you really didn't want Ari humanized. You wanted him to still just be, you fell in love with just the asshole that he was, but he got results and he was always scheming and he always had a plan. You wanted him to stay that person. And eventually he kind of changed, which I guess you would hope that a real person in real life would eventually evolve. And
see,
you know,
I didn't think, you know, I guess you could say the turning point was in season 4 when his son can't get into the private school. And, you know, he tears up when he's reading to his son, and then he goes and he's crying, mm-hmm. trying to get him in there. But I thought that was a pretty great moment overall, to tell you the truth. I mean, and he still ends up getting his way, of course, by pulling some strings to get the guy's son out of the mailroom into real office to be an agent.
Wasn't that the guy that does Homer Simpson's voice?
I can't remember.
Frank Castellano. Elena or whatever.
I don't know.
It was.
But I didn't think there was anything really that bad about that. But after that, when it starts going to where it's nonstop drama with Ari and his wife, and she wants a divorce, and who's she dating, and Ari's all pissed off. I mean, that kind of got to the point where it was like, you know, you're right. It got a little too far. But I didn't have a problem with that first time when we saw him crying for the first time and being someone other than this mm-hmm. angry, cutthroat, you know, balls to the wall, nonstop, no sleep, always on the phone super agent.
Right. Right. And I think we want to discuss at least one more character and then maybe touch on some cameos. But really quick before, you know, near the end, we'll maybe discuss how it kind of teetered out. But I think that's one of the problems is – it got to a point where the show could either turn into something like Curb Your Enthusiasm, where it was just a great half hour of comedy with good characters, to where the character of Ari, you'd want it to stay the same, mm-hmm. or the path that it took becoming a lot more serious and kind of betting on and hoping that the audience would be invested in a lot more of a serious tone and some of the emotional outcomes of these characters. And that's what ended up with Ari. And, you know, they did the same with some of the other characters, but it suddenly took us from, man, Ari is so badass. Oh, he's such a wise ass. Oh, did you mm-hmm. hear what Ari said last week too? Boy, I hope Ari, you know, gets back with his wife. You know,
well,
like,
yeah,
what,
it's like, I hope he doesn't go into a downward spiral and become like a crack right. addict sleeping on the streets and right. lose his whole business.
So that you're right. He was money for, you're right, 6 seasons. I mean, just go to one-liners, mm-hmm. just ignorant stuff that, you're right, as someone like myself in my business who's always kind of worried about, you know, PC and, you know, what HR will think, Ari mm-hmm. did not care what HR
right. I mean,
think.
There's just I just think at the end of the day, the biggest thing about Ari was that he had a heart. But, man, he was so greedy. I mean, I just watched that episode the other day where they're having the rolling blackouts, and it's mm-hmm. during earlier in the show, probably around the second, third season that time, the kind of the storyline is Aquaman. Vince yep. is doing the movie Aquaman. And on the day it's opening, they're projected to do $95 million. And the East Coast numbers are coming in, and it's like, man, we could actually open above 114 million. Spider-Man's opening. We could be the biggest opening in history.
Yeah.
But then there's these rolling blackouts from San Francisco to San Diego, and Ari is just losing his shit. And he's stomping up these stairs at his agency. And we see him, like, stomping up the stairs, talking on this cell phone. And he gets up to floor 11, only to find the door is locked, hangs up his phone. And he just lets out a Lloyd.
Like Lloyd's gonna be able to let him out.
Right. Like anyone Lloyd's can hear him or anything.
Right. But no, I mean, Ari is great. I mean, let's talk about our favorite writer, director, sitar player. You know, we both wanna discuss Billy Walsh really quick.
Okay, now how long did it take you to come around to liking Billy Walsh?
I hated him. Hated him. Like he's so disrupted the fabric of the Friends relationship, and he just irked me. And like he seemed, even though you would think that the writer director of what was it, the end of season one when Vinny gets real interested in Queens Boulevard. It turns out that it's this guy.
Season one ends with them going to New York to shoot Queens Boulevard.
With Billy Walsh. And you meet Billy Walsh in the last couple of episodes. And so all of a sudden, here's just this egotistical ass who is in charge of our boys, our friends, making it, you know, just pumping out another great movie. You know, this is going to be a great movie for Vin, but we got just this.
Well, here's the main reason, too. The main, at first, I was the same way. I hated him at first, and here's why. Because he was always giving Eric shit, calling him Suit. Yep. Listen up, Suit. Uh-huh. You know, but as we get to know, even by the time they're working with him a second time for a movie called Medellin, where Vince is playing Pablo Escobar.
Yep.
I almost said Pablo Francisco. But even by that time, you're still like, God, this guy is just such a douche. But there's something about him, too, at the same time that is so funny. And, you know, me being a creative guy, an artist, I kind of like to think that I have some sort of artistic integrity, too. So I think I can relate to him.
You're an artist. All right, keep going.
But anyways, he's just so loud, like you said, so disruptive to the friendship and all that stuff. But there's for some reason, by the end of the series, I became a huge fan. So I wanted to kind of, you know, like I said, my sister has the first six seasons, so I was decided this week to kind of binge on it, not try to watch every episode every season, but kind of pick and choose. And I especially wanted to make sure I watched the one where we first meet Billy Walsh. And he is in California in L.A. staying at the Chateau Marmont. Mm-hmm. And they're walking up to try and find him. And they're like, excuse me, are you Billy? And, you know, it's just person after person, huge party, drugs and everything going around. We finally see him get up off a couch, introduce himself. And probably within the first 3 minutes, we see him. He walks down this hallway to get like a shirt or something. Some chick just starts screaming at him, and he turns out and lets out this obnoxious, hey, shut up! And then he's got to go get something. He's got to get money for something, so he just grabs a purse sitting on his, like a lamp table and starts going through it. And I was like, all right. I was like, this guy is just ridiculous. I don't even know the actor's name who played him. I don't know if he's ever done anything else before.
It's like something Reese Cairo, or I can look it up really quick, but I really didn't like him. Right, he was just abrasive. He was annoying. He disrupted everything disrupted the status quo that we all liked. And when you really started to, I mean, if I'm being honest, when I think about him, Reese Cairo, it almost looks like Cairo, that's his name. He almost, when I look back on it, I consider him to be the most realistic to real life character that there is. And I know absolutely nothing about, you know, Hollywood. The most I know about Hollywood and celebrities and stars, movie stars, TV stars, is just what I'm taking from Entourage.
Right.
And it would not surprise me one bit if there are a number of different individuals exactly like him who are just so, well, similar to yourself, an artist who doesn't like their craft, doesn't like anyone else to tell them how to do what it is that they do. They feel that what their mindset, their frame of mind is the end all be all.
It's his way. He's right.
It's exactly what he wants. He's going to do what he wants or he's not going to do it at all. And one example, which I bring up to you all the time, but when Queens Boulevard, you know, this is maybe second season has been filmed. Mm-hmm. And so Billy Walsh is, you know, doing post-production, stuff like that. Turtle, I think maybe Vince's car gets stolen. They find the car. In the car is a CD from a rapper named Saigon. Mm-hmm. So they're driving around and they start playing the CD and, you know, really start kind of digging on this CD from Saigon. Turtle loves it. Turtle's like, how sweet would this be in the closing credits of Queens Boulevard? And both Ian and Vince are like, well, you want to tell Billy, you want to tell Walsh, right. You go tell him. So Turtle goes and tells him. The first thing he says is, Turtle's like, look, I got this killer beat. I think it'd be great in the closing credits of Queens Boulevard. And Billy just goes, No, I'm already good with the soundtrack. I'm gonna do the whole thing on a sitar myself. John Billy Walsh is gonna score the entire movie sitting with a massive Indian guitar, scoring the whole thing. He's already made his mind up. I'm scoring the whole thing on a sitar myself. And that just he doesn't, and again, until some of the later episodes, when unfortunately he cleans up and does all this other crap. He always stuck to his guns when they started making Medellin.
Okay,
He
that was one of the episodes I watched, and I took some notes
Welcome to
on
the
it.
Jungle.
Yeah, where it's like it's a kind of a behind the movie, behind the scenes type thing where they're doing
Really,
documentary.
really quick. Did you recognize now when you watch it again? Did you recognize the luscious, attractive Latin female that is in the movie? Do you notice who she is?
No.
I just noticed it last night when I was watching the trailer to Medellin, which we'll post on the Facebook page. That's Sofia Vergara.
Oh, okay.
And you, I know, like I'm looking, I go,
Man,
ooh, I go, she
you
looks
can't even keep
familiar.
track of everyone.
Brought it right up, and sure as hell, that was her. Like one of, some early things. Now she's huge on, Modern Family or whatever else. But all right, I'm sorry, I interrupt you.
Well,
So yeah,
yeah,
they're
I
doing
just.
like a
And
behind the
Billy.
scenes.
So we're really getting to see how Billy actually works this time. And it's just a mess. He fires the DP, the director of photography, who's basically the main cameraman. Because everyone likes the way this movie's looking and being shot, except Billy. He hates it. He thinks it sucks. He's having a breakdown. He's breaking down the whole time. The girl you just mentioned, she auditions, and it's like love at first sight for Billy. He won't let Turtle and Drama watch the auditions. He's afraid someone else is sleeping with her, so he bans sex on the set. He
For
ordered
some
he
reason,
rewrites
Turtle
the
and
whole script for the movie.
Right.
They fly in a special person to write the ending.
Stephen Gagan.
That person gets there, and Billy already rewrote the ending, so they pay him $275,000 to fly there, read the ending Billy has, then fly back. And then finally they're shooting the last scene, and at this point, for some reason, Billy looks like he could be a member of the Taliban. He has like
Turban on.
a big like turban wrapped around his head and like a robe on. And for some reason, ironically, it's the scene with all the explosions. And I mean, it's just fun watching like how bad this guy loses it. I mean, at this point, you're right. He's still like this abrasive asshole that you just are like, my God, man. This
Dedicated to
guy,
his craft.
what is going on with him?
And
But
don't they?
he does not care, and he finally gets it done. You're like, all right, good. Things can get back to normal here a little bit.
And don't they ask him, like the person who's allegedly, filming this documentary says,
Yeah.
Billy, what do you think? And he just stares at the camera and goes, well, it's either going to be great or it's going to suck. But until I see the first cut, who knows? And then, like,
Yeah,
that's
no
how
one
the
will know but
episode.
me, too. He's not gonna let anyone watch any of the,
That's how it
or be a
ends.
part of the editing or anything. And
Hey,
there's also the last scene for Billy we need to talk about is when Ari goes to his house to find him.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that one up. Can I listen? This is by far one of my favorite scenes. Can I
Yeah,
describe it, or were you? Did
go
you?
for it.
Okay. So I can't even remember why, but Ari's pissed. He needs to get a hold of Billy. He needs something from Billy. Billy's not picking up. So Ari, and you're in trouble when Ari just picks up a cell phone and just rushes out of the office. So Ari shows up at Billy's house, knocks on the door. Of course, Billy has some nice, fine-looking young lady answer the door. She's in her bra and just like a small little robe. She's like, "Is Billy there?" And she just goes, "No, he's not here." And you see Ari just kind of like look behind her and go,
Right.
"I can see him. He's laying
Well,
on the
that's the
couch
thing
right
too,
there."
is the viewer, we're watching on TV and we can see him
We
too.
see
We can't
Billy laying
we can
on
just see him
the
sitting there.
couch. Ari's like, "I can see him laying on the couch right there." And Billy's just laying there in his underwear. "I ain't here for you, suit."
Yeah.
And finally, like, busts in, and they end up having a conversation.
All right, guys. We're at a point right now where, just to be safe, we're gonna kind of cut this one off, and we're gonna do a part two. So basically, we gave you a little bit about the show. You know, the four main guys obviously are Drama, Eric, Turtle, and Vince. or five main guys, I should say, and Ari, and then we talked, obviously, about Billy Walsh. We just got done talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
To be safe and make sure there's no recording problems, we're going to break into a part two that we're going to record separately. Just to give you guys, make sure you're following, you know, there was 8 seasons of Entourage. The first season kind of talks about Vince's movie Head On, which establishes him as a big star. They make Queens Boulevard, the indie one, and then he gets Aquaman, which has the biggest opening in history. Not really, obviously.
Well,
but
not since
show.
Avengers came out. Avengers
right.
just came
well,
out
not
and beat
since
it.
Avengers. But so that's about where we're at. So we're going to do part two. We're going to talk about cameos. There's a ton of cameos, some of substance, some just kind of random. And then we're also going to talk about when the show started to kind of slide, when it became not as good. I mean, I don't want to say that I outright hated it, but when the show went from being this great show that we really loved to being a show that was kind of like, you know, it's about
it's like, let's get it over with.
It's welcome.
It's kind of what it felt like. It's like, all right, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up, B.
And then we're also going to talk about some of the shows we watched today, too, and how those ones compare to Entourage, whether we like them more or less, what did we like about Entourage that they don't do as well, what do they do better than Entourage. So that's part one, so let's get into part two.